And now, Don Blackwell.
Why was the Bible written? Why do we have the Bible? We notice the fact that every book was written for some purpose. So what is the purpose of the Bible? We noticed several reasons in that program, and we're going to continue noticing some reasons today. The first reason that we noticed last week was the Bible was written that man might know his Creator. It's difficult to think of much that we know about God that we don't know from the Bible. We know, of course, that God exists, but we know nothing of His nature, of His character, and what He requires of us. We also notice that the Bible was written to cause belief. John chapter 20 and verse 30 tells us, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Thirdly, we notice, the Bible was written that we might have eternal life. John 20 and verse 31, the next verse says, "And that believing you might have life through His name." Number four, we noticed that the Bible is written that man might be completely equipped to serve God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect. That word means complete, lacking in nothing, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Number five, I want us to notice today that the Bible was written so that Christians might know that they are saved. You know, one of the accusations oftentimes made against the Lord's church is that those people in the Church of Christ don't even know whether they're saved. And friends, I'm afraid that that accusation sometimes is true because some members of the Lord's church walk around every day not knowing whether or not they're saved. And they'll make statements such as, "I hope that I have been good enough." And the thought is that we can't know for sure until we die whether we're going to be saved. But friends, that is a miserable existence. And it's really not what the Bible teaches. And it certainly should not be that way. In fact, one of the reasons that the Bible was written is so that we might know that we are saved. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, the text says, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life." Now listen to verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Friends, Christianity does not have to be a guessing game. Christianity does not have to be one big wish, because the Lord said that we can absolutely know that we are saved. Well, how are we going to know? Let's imagine that a man wants to know what he looks like. How's he going to know? Well, you say he's going to look at himself in a mirror. How's a man going to know whether or not he's saved? Friends, he's going to have to look into the mirror of God's Word. He's going to have to look into the perfect law of liberty, James 1 and 25. He's going to have to study his Bible and obey it. If any man is doing that, and he's faithfully walking in the light, he doesn't have to wonder whether or not he's saved. If he's obeyed the gospel and he's living faithfully, he is saved. Now, if a man is not walking in the light, if he's not a New Testament Christian, if he hasn't had his sins removed, or if he is a New Testament Christian who has sins that he hasn't repented of, then he can know that he is not saved. And it's as simple as that. Now, some people believe that they are saved. Some people think that they are saved because of a feeling that they have on the inside. Friends, the Bible never teaches such a thing as that. John said, "You may know that you are saved, not by a warm feeling moving inside of you." That's not what the Bible says. Many people have been fooled by a feeling. But the Bible says, "I have written that you may know." The Bible says it is by the written Word, by comparison, looking at the Word, that a man may know. We may know we're saved, but the way that we may know is by using the good sense the Lord gave us and by comparing our lives and practices to His Word. Number six, why was the Bible written? The Bible was written to give us hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "The things that were written aforetime," this is talking about the Old Testament, "they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Now, this word hope is not the word that means wishful thinking, like maybe we'll get to heaven if we're lucky. That's not what the word means. This word carries with it the idea of confident expectation. This word carries with it the thought of happy anticipation. To paraphrase this verse, we might say that one of the reasons that the Old Testament was written was to cause us to look forward to the future. Okay, one more point. Why was the Bible written? Friends, the Bible was written to judge us eternally. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." Friends, you know, some people seemingly have the idea that their judge is going to be whether or not they were a good person in this life. And they believe that as long as they were basically good people, that everything is going to be okay. And based on that type of thinking, the majority of people think that they're going to go to heaven. Now, I've got the idea that if you approached many people and you asked them, "Will you go to heaven eternally?" most of them would say, yes, they will. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord tells us that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. He said the majority of the individuals living upon this earth will be lost eternally, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The Lord said few, the minority, will go to heaven eternally. Friends, this is very, very sad, and it should be very disturbing to us, because there are a lot of people who don't even understand the standard by which they will be judged. And that means that they are going to go into eternity unprepared. But nonetheless, the Bible stands as the written Word of God. It stands as the documented law of God, and it will not be changed so long as this earth remains. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Matthew 24 and 35. You know, whether we as mankind like it, or whether we understand it, or whether we submit to it, the words of the Lord are still going to judge us. You know, I have occasionally heard of people who did not like certain passages of the Bible. Maybe it's a person who doesn't believe in the necessity of baptism, and they'll find a passage such as Mark 16, 15 and 16, where Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." And I've heard stories of individuals taking scissors or razors and cutting these passages out of their Bible, or maybe taking some type of a whiteout and blotting these passages out of their Bible. But friends, we can't change the written Word of God. One of the reasons it was given was to judge us. And we may cut it up and we may white it out in this life, but we will see it again. On the Day of Judgment, if you are not a faithful child of God, the words in this book, the Bible, will stand as a witness against you, and they will condemn you to eternal damnation. If you are a faithful child of the Lord, then the words of this book, the Bible, will stand as a testimony in your favor. But no matter what, by it you will be judged. The song says, "How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp its precepts shine to guide my soul to heaven. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine. A lamp to my feet and a light to my way to guide me safely home." Friends, indeed the Bible is a precious book. It teaches man about his Creator. It causes belief in Christ as the Son of God. It teaches how to have eternal life. It instructs us on how to perfectly serve our God. It confirms our salvation. It gives us hope. And ultimately, it will be our judge. A long time ago, a man after God's own heart wrote these words about his Lord. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119 and 105. Friend, won't you let His words be a lamp unto your life today? Won't you let the words of the Lord be a light unto your path? If you are not a member of the Lord's church, then you need to know that you are lost eternally. You will spend eternity suffering in torment if you do not make a change. And the Bible teaches you must obey the gospel to have your sins remitted so that you can have the hope of eternity in heaven. That you must hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. That you must believe the gospel, Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. That a man, upon hearing and believing it, must repent of his sins. Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." A man must hear, believe, repent, confess. Acts 10, Romans 10 and 10 says, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then a man must be baptized in water for the remission of his sins. Peter tells us that baptism does now save us. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Peter tells us in Acts 2 and 38 that baptism is necessary to have our sins remitted. Acts 22 and 16 teaches us that a man must arise and be baptized to wash away his sins. If a man is not baptized, he doesn't come in contact with the blood of Jesus. His sins aren't washed away. He hasn't obeyed the Lord. He won't be added to the Lord's church, Acts 2 and 47, and he will be lost eternally. Friends, once a person has done those things, if he will live faithfully as a member of the Lord's church, he will have a home awaiting him in heaven.